mornings. I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, expectations are that the Federal Reserve is about to cut interest rates for the first time in more than 4 years. But will it really make any difference for consumers? We'll get into the numbers of a new CNET Money survey out this week. Also this morning, the latest in our series of crime prevention conversations. In recent years, America's streets and roadways have become safer for drivers, but more dangerous for pedestrians. And do unto others. St. Mark's United Methodist Church has launched a campaign that we really need right now, encouraging each of us to share a little kindness to our neighbors. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Wednesday, September 18th, 2024. My voice is slowly but surely starting to come back. It's a little bit better today than it was yesterday, and hopefully by tomorrow we'll be back to normal. It's been a rough week. Appreciate you hanging with us here as we work through this bout of laryngitis I have this morning, but feeling a little bit better about this as well. Today is National Cheeseburger Day. National Cheeseburger Day. Now, I'm guessing that a lot of burger joints are going to have cheeseburger specials and that kind of thing. There's a promotional tie-in to Cheeseburger Day, but I thought this was interesting. The best cheeseburger in the country. Where would you think that it is? The best cheeseburger in the country. And I'll give you a hint. It's not a fast food burger at all. Forget about it. I mean, it's not fast food. No, this is a burger joint in Oahu. That's right. If you want the best burger in the country, you're going to have to buy a plane ticket to Hawaii. According to a recent Yelp ranking of the top cheeseburger spots in the U.S., it ranked Shai's Simon Stand in Wahiawa. So it's on Oahu, but it's north of, it's not in the Waikiki, Honolulu area. It's closer to the North Shore. It's not on the North Shore. It's closer to the North Shore of Oahu. But that is the number one burger joint. The rankings were compiled based on a number of different factors, including the total volume of ratings, the total volume and ratings of the reviews. And Shigi's opened over 30 years ago, and they have over 1,000 reviews with an average rating of 4.5 stars. So Yelp says it's the best burger in the country. If you need a reason to go to Hawaii, there you go. And if you ever wondered why it is that we made Hawaii a state, now you know, because they have the best burger. I mean, if it were not a U.S. state, it couldn't be the best burger in the country. So we had to make Hawaii a state. So that's why. Let's see. But happy Cheeseburger Day to you today. Are you stressed out? This is an interesting survey. They say, according to this survey in this poll of 2,000 American adults, the average American feels like they are spinning from stress 156 times a year. 41% say that they are experiencing their peak stress levels right now. And 38% say this year has been more stressful than last year was. Biggest concerns, finances, the economy. People said their physical health and the presidential election, the things that are stressing them out. According to Crystal Corson of Traditional Medicinals, which commissioned the survey, half of those that were asked believe that stress is often the main cause of a person getting sick. They get sick more often because they're stressed out. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's why I got laryngitis. I'm just stressed out. I don't know. I keep saying that would, the reason I lost my voice is because I relieved some of that stress by yelling at the TV at the football games over the weekend. But I don't know. So I guess you could say it has to do with stress. But I'm not really sick. I just can't. But anyway, getting back to the survey, when asked what season of the year is the most stressful, the highest percentage of respondents said winter, given the seasonal changes and the holidays, the lack of sunlight, that kind of thing. So the upcoming winter season, bottom line, the way I read that survey, what I take away from it is if you are already at your peak stress levels of the year, just you wait because winter is coming. 71% said that their mental health would improve if they could reduce their stress levels. So, duh, I want to meet the 30% who don't believe that their stress levels would improve if they could improve their mental health. Who doesn't believe that?
Yeah.
Not to stress you out, but this... maybe this is causing you stress, and if it isn't, you know, I hate to add to your burden, but this is a new study out of the University of Michigan that finds a surprising number of kids between the ages of 6 and 12 do not have any friends. Their poll, and they asked about 1,000 parents, and they found that 20% of children, 1 in 5 kids, might have no friends at all. At least that's what their parents believe. Parents say that social awkwardness, medical conditions, and limited opportunities to socialize make it hard for kids to form those bonds of friendship. Researchers say parents can help by supporting small group activities and letting their children navigate situations independently. Don't step in. It may be very tempting to do that, but don't let kids figure all that out for themselves. It will serve them better in the long run. Parents should expect and allow children to make mistakes and only intervene in matters of safety, according to the director of the poll. And perhaps later, in a private moment with your child, be ready to listen and perhaps offer advice if your kids ask it. But don't step in and intervene unless they ask. So, there you go. Wow, that is amazing, though. 1 in 5 kids between the ages of 6 and 12 don't have any friends, at least according to the survey. Oh, that is sad, actually. Think about it. A couple of other items here among the first things you need to know this morning, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. Every day we have to have something to be worried about, it seems like, right? There's a new story about, you know, some tragedy in the making, the end of civilization as we know it, something that is going to be the death of us yet. It's all doom and gloom. Here is today's doom and gloom story. Are you ready? This is a new study which warns that 39 million people could die worldwide by the year 2050 due to antimicrobial resistance. Now, this is something we've been hearing about for years, and now apparently it's coming home to roost. These superbugs that don't respond to antibiotics because they have been used so much that the viruses have built up a resistance. Antibiotics, of course, designed to fight bacteria, things like pneumonia, sepsis, life-threatening infections. But according to a major study just published in the British medical journal Lancet, antimicrobial deaths are skyrocketing in the more than 200 countries that have been studied, up 80% in the past 30 years among those age 70 and up. Experts say there is an urgent need for new antibiotics and for less use in livestock and food production, and just more restrained use in everyday products. You know, see them everywhere. It's for a long time, that was the biggest buzzword in product marketing. Antimicrobial, this, that, and the other. It's a hand wash and antimicrobial cleaning products and all of that. We have used antimicrobials and antibiotics to the point where We're creating superbugs. So this is the doom and gloom. We're all going to die of superbugs. Been warned about it for years, and now it appears to be happening. So, speaking of stress levels, that's... Yeah. And lastly here this morning, among the first things that you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day, you might believe that we are already living in the world of George Orwell's 1984. But if you are still thinking that we're not quite there yet, consider what Larry Ellison recently had to say about the not-so-distant future with the evolution of technology. Now, Larry Ellison is the co-founder of the tech company Oracle, and he told investors during a recent financial analyst meeting for Oracle that in the future, the not-too-distant future, we're going to have supervision of our everyday lives. Supervision of our... And apparently he was happy about this in delivering this news. Regarding the coupling of artificial intelligence and surveillance cameras, he said that citizens will have to be on their best behavior because every police officer is going to be supervised at all times, and if there's a problem, AI will report it to the appropriate person. Citizens will have to be on their best behavior because we are constantly recording and reporting everything that's going on. And again, his argument that this is a good thing. Such systems, he says, are already in place overseas in places like China, with infractions from jaywalking to more serious offenses being logged and punishments being handed out, thanks to a near ubiquitous facial recognition system in place throughout China. The sticky wicket, of course, in this is that the United States is not China, nor do we really want to be. But still, Mr. Ellison extolled the virtues of a constant surveillance state, saying it would also, for example, eliminate the need for dangerous police chases. Police wouldn't have to chase after a subject, because in the age of autonomous drones, you just send a drone out to follow the car around, or use facial recognition to identify the perpetrator and go pick him up. Said this is a good thing. I'm not so sure. Sorry, I'm not so sure. I'm not necessarily arguing that it might not happen. I just don't know that it's necessarily a good thing. Discuss amongst yourselves. There you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Wednesday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather, partly to mostly sunny today, a high in the low 80s, mostly clear tonight, a low around 60. The Hancock County Sheriff's Office says a woman was killed when her car was hit by a train in the southern part of the county. The Sheriff's Office says the 23-year-old from Findlay was driving west on Township Road 150 approaching US 68 when she failed to stop at the stop sign at the railroad crossing on Township Road 150 and was hit by the train. Her car overturned and came to rest in a field. She was pronounced deceased at the scene. Assisting on scene were the Arlington Volunteer Fire Department, Appleseed EMS, Hanco EMS, Hancock County EMA, CSX, and RNA Towing. Get more in the story on our website. The U.S. Drought Monitor says drought conditions are worsening in Ohio.
More than 20% of the state is classified as under exceptional drought, and another 60% is seeing severe or extreme drought. The impact on Ohio farmers is devastating. Farmers are harvesting soybeans and corn now, more than 30 days ahead of schedule, in an effort to salvage what they can. 22 counties have been declared natural disasters, with 16 more eligible for assistance from the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
ONN's Jay Fox reporting. Get more in the story on our website. Liberty Benton Local Schools says the school district received 5 stars out of 5 on the state report card for the 2023-2024 school year. The school district says congratulations and thank you to all of our staff and hardworking students. It takes everyone to make this possible. Meantime, Findlay City Schools says it's pleased to share its overall rating of 4 stars on the 2024 Ohio School Report Card, reflecting continued progress and a strong commitment to academic excellence while acknowledging areas where improvement is needed. The school district says while receiving an overall 4-star rating and exceeding state standards is a remarkable achievement, the district acknowledges the slight drop from 4.5 stars in 2023. The drop can be attributed to a decline in the category of early literacy performance. Get more details in this story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online at WFIN.com.
Well, the expectation is that the Federal Reserve is about to cut interest rates for the first time in more than 4 years. But will it really make any difference for consumers? Will it move the needle? The monetary policy that was aimed at keeping inflation in check has also forced many people to make difficult decisions because of the cost of borrowing money. You see it especially in the sales of big ticket items like furniture and appliances and cars and homes. So what would it take to get people off the sidelines? CNET Money is out this week with a new survey on consumer sentiment in the housing market specifically, and housing market reporter Catherine Watt is with us this morning. Now, to be sure, higher mortgage rates, not the only thing that's been holding people back, right?
Yeah, certainly not. You know, when we talk about the housing market, there are these three pillars that really define affordability, and that is mortgage rates, but it's also inventory and home prices. And the housing market is really struggling on all of those fronts right now. Home prices are high and inventory is still low, and that's been a problem for years. And that low inventory is part of what is propping up home prices. So it's definitely not just mortgage rates.
But to the extent that mortgage rates are the issue, rates have already started to come down, and they have been for a little while now. It's not all tied to the Fed's rate either. There are other factors at play here too.
Yes, the Fed does not directly set mortgage rates. Its policy decisions do influence mortgage rate movement, but mortgage rates are affected by a range of things, you know, yields in the bond market, investor expectations, geopolitical events. So they're moving around on a daily basis.
So all of that being said, you do find in your survey that there is a good amount of pessimism that is baked in to the mindset of consumers.
Yeah, consumers don't really see the housing market opening up for them meaningfully in the coming months, you know. Mortgage rates are expected to go down, but just not enough to offset the other factors like high prices and just not being enough homes on the market. You know, our survey found that only 4% of prospective home buyers and homeowners would consider buying a home or refinancing if rates fell to 6%. And, you know, rates are around 6.3 right now on the daily. So it's not that far from where we are. So you can't expect a massive uptick in home buying or refinancing this year, probably, and if rates fell.
So even if we see rates start to decline even further, it's probably not going to bring a whole lot of additional buyers to the market. We talk about the fact that there are a lot of other factors at play that go into the cost of getting a mortgage. Do consumers see it that way, or, you know, do they recognize that, or does it even really matter on the consumer end?
The other costs associated with getting a mortgage. It depends on the consumer. If you're really entrenched in the home buying process and you're aware of all those factors, it probably does. But I think especially for first-time home buyers, younger borrowers, members of Gen Z, who are really just starting out in their careers or, you know, getting to understand what the housing market is all about, they probably do see that mortgage rate, and there's a lot of sticker shock because in 2020 and 2021, rates were in the 2 and 3% range.
Right.
So especially when rates went above 8% last year, I mean, it's not surprising. A lot of people pump the brakes really, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though rates are not that high on a historical basis, you know, 7.4 is the average for the past few decades, according to Freddie Mac, it still feels high, especially when you consider just how high home prices are. That means you have to take out a bigger loan, pay it for longer, more interest.
Yeah, and how low rates were not all that long ago. And even for those who maybe would be motivated to move off the couch with a drop in rate, they find that there are other obstacles that also stand in the way more than just being able to afford the payment.
Right. Of course, our survey found that 36%, that's one in three Americans, cite inflation as the biggest barrier to home ownership. They also consider debt. So a lot of people are dealing with student debt, credit card debt, medical debt. That makes it incredibly hard to save for a down payment, let alone be able to afford that bigger monthly mortgage payment. So it's not surprising. And 45% of consumers said that other than mortgage rates, home prices coming down would be a major factor in their decision to buy a home. So there's a ton of things weighing on people's pockets.
Both in terms of that would mean less money they would have to borrow and less money they would have to come up with for a down payment, which is another one of those sticking points for a lot of especially younger homeowners or home buyers. So the bottom line, as I kind of see it in the survey, what I'm taking away from it is that if we are expecting this week's rate cut or any that additional cuts that may follow, because a lot of experts believe that this may just be the beginning. If we're expecting this to somehow open the floodgates, we're going to be disappointed. We need to temper our expectations, basically.
Right. So historically speaking, as the Fed lowers rates, borrowing rates do tend to go down over time. But the Fed, whether they cut by 0.25% or 0.5% this week, it's just the first cut. They've raised rates incredibly high over the past 2 years. So it's going to take months and months. You could see them cutting throughout the rest of this year and next. And it really depends just how low they cut rates in the end and the speed with which they do it. So yeah, this week you might see some short-term volatility in rates depending on whether they go 25 or 50, but it's really not going to result in a 25 basis point or 50 basis point reduction in the 30-year.
And I know that this survey looked at home buying in particular, and that is your area of expertise in your reporting. But as we mentioned at the outset, by extension, you'd kind of have to think that you would probably see somewhat similar sentiment with respect to any other big ticket purchase as well, especially one that would not be of an immediate need. I mean, people seem to be just more cautious, more conscious of the cost of borrowing money, the cost of money overall.
Of course, you know, back in August, there was a lot of fear of a recession, especially from the investor side of things. But I think it's true. People have been feeling like we're in a recession for years. It's something that permeates their daily lives, how they spend money, how they save money. So yeah, they've been prepared to hunker down in terms of spending. And that goes for way more than just home purchases. That's buying new cars, that's home renovations, all things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, CNET Money out with this new survey on consumer sentiment in the housing market. We will link up to it on our webpage because it is really fascinating data. And again, housing market reporter Catherine Watt is with us this morning. Catherine, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Chris.
Time now for the latest in our ongoing series of crime prevention conversations. Crime prevention officer Brian White, the Findlay Police Department, is with us this morning. I don't know if this would necessarily fall under the category of crime. I guess in a sense it would. Want to talk a little bit about the fact that it is kind of interesting in the past few years, according to the data, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, America's streets and roadways have become safer for drivers and less safe, more dangerous for pedestrians, which is, you know, I guess more people are walking, biking, you know, that kind of thing these days. That's part of it.
Yeah, especially post-COVID. During those years, a lot of people were outside enjoying the environment a little bit more. Now, biking and, you know, activities like that, getting out on the streets is much more frequent. Now, cars are much safer because of technology.
Sure.
That decreases the amount of fatalities in automobiles. Although still, in Ohio for 2023, there were over 1,200 fatalities yeah. and automobile accidents.
Yeah. So we don't want to discount any of this. Obviously, it's very important to make sure that when you're behind the wheel, you are looking out for yourself, other drivers, and again, those who are on bicycles and on foot and all of that. So that's kind of what we're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. For August, it is actual National Traffic Safety Awareness Month.
Okay.
And then for September, we have National Pedestrian Safety Month. And or actually, I should say October, but right in between September, kids going back to school, it kind of fits mm-hmm. in, right? We need to be safe when we're out on the roadways, especially when we're talking about children on their way to school.
So with respect to that, what are the top tips, the top things that people should be thinking about that maybe we aren't always?
Well, one of the biggest things, it doesn't matter if we are talking about pedestrians or drivers of vehicles. Awareness, right? Be aware of your surroundings, put down the cell phones, don't be distracted. Mm-hmm. And we talk about this in many different topics, but especially when we're talking about operating a motor vehicle, riding a bicycle, walking, it all kind of fits.
And that is a crime if you are using your phone behind the wheel now in the state of Ohio.
Correct. It is illegal for anyone to have a phone up in their hand using it while the vehicle is in motion. If you're at a stoplight, stop sign, kind of checking it, that's fine. But when the vehicle is operating outside of having it in the process of making that phone call, you cannot manipulate that phone in any way.
Mm-hmm. So that is number one. And the other thing with respect to that, I mean, obviously the issue with cell phones is distraction.
Correct.
But that is far from the only distraction.
Absolutely. As you're driving down the road, you can see many different types of distractions.
Right.
Going from billboards to other vehicles, other drivers, cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
The radio in your car could be that Big Mac with cheese that you're eating.
Right.
Yeah. It could also be the children in the back seat. Mm-hmm. There's lots of different distractions that we have to concern ourselves with. And that's why mitigating it is really the best thing we can do, because there's always going to be some form of distraction, I think.
Yeah. And what else are some of the other things that people need to keep in mind?
Sure. Well, when we talk about reducing fatalities and motor vehicle crashes, maintaining a safe distance with cars, especially with the winter months coming up, right? We want to maintain mm-hmm. that distance. That way mm-hmm. allows for stopping. Wearing our seatbelt, it is amazing how many people don't wear seatbelts.
Yeah. Again, it is correct. The law,
yeah,
but there are still those who don't. Go back to, we were talking about maintaining the appropriate distance. Refresh us here. What is the safe, appropriate distance?
So it depends on what you look at. There's a recommendation about one car length for every 10 miles an hour. Okay. We always recommend anywhere from 2 to 3 car lengths at a bare minimum, especially mm-hmm. when we're talking about interstate speeds.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, those adaptive cruise controls, they will maintain that distance for you.
Yeah.
So that just makes it a little bit easier.
One of the aspects of technology that are making cars safer. The other thing that I think, and I see it all the time, saw it yesterday, as a matter of fact, I was on the highway and saw this. Maintaining that safe distance is not just when you are behind another vehicle, but if you are passing a vehicle and getting back into your original lane, making sure that you have allowed an appropriate distance so that the person who is now behind you is not too close to you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Cutting people off.
Yeah. Maintaining clearance between all cars is the safe way to be. And again, those safety features in cars, a lot of times when you hit that turn signal, it's going to let you know, hey, there's a car in your blind spot. There's mm-hmm. a car within distance and
yeah.
kind of clear that.
Yeah. Just something to keep in mind, because I see a lot of people, you know, cutting back into a lane really sooner than they probably should. And potentially causing issues there as well. Let's talk a little bit about pedestrian safety.
Sure.
Things that people who are on foot need to remember.
Absolutely. And that's a big one. Again, with schools in session, as well as Halloween coming up here mm-hmm. in the next month.
Right.
It's important for people to be aware, again, of their surroundings. That's number one. Be visible. That comes with clothing, right? Wear bright colors that stand out, reflective, especially if someone is in the street. Now, hopefully people are using sidewalks. That's what sidewalks are there for.
Right.
But it's amazing how many times I see people out in the roadway running, jogging, especially mm-hmm. in the early morning hours.
Yeah. Exactly. And those times when you're out there thinking, well, there's not a whole lot of traffic, but the traffic that is there is probably going to be more difficult to see you.
Absolutely, it will yeah. be. Yeah, especially yeah. as the mornings are darker, right? Mm-hmm. It's taking time
right.
for the sun to come up. So it's making it more difficult for people to be able to see.
And again, always walking against traffic.
Correct. Yep. Have to walk towards traffic. If for some reason there is no sidewalk present or the sidewalk is in such bad shape that you just can't, that's when you're permitted to walk in the roadway towards traffic.
Okay. But that is very important. And for bicyclists, it's the exact opposite. You're not riding against traffic. You're riding with traffic.
Correct. And that's confusing for a lot of people, right? Because it's against traffic, with traffic, which one's which. Well, when you're a bicycle, you are now a motor vehicle, and you have to follow those same laws as motor vehicles. So that's on the right side of the road. That's stopping at stop signs, stop lights.
What are some of the other safety reminders for those who are not in vehicles with respect to roadway safety?
Okay, crossing at the appropriate locations, where not that's an intersection or crosswalks, especially again downtown, lots of midway block crossings with crosswalks. Make sure to use the crosswalk, hit the lights. That way people know, hey, there's probably someone that's coming out into the roadway.
And again, if you're a driver, watch out for those.
Because yes, absolutely.
It's not just at intersections anymore where they have crosswalks. This is becoming more common.
That's correct. And speed really plays a part in those if we're going too fast. And it just won't have enough time to stop.
Anyway, just kind of an aside, some of the other things to keep in mind for pedestrians and bicyclists.
Correct. Correct.
So, again, these are our highlight some of the most important things, but that it all goes back to awareness, and that really covers regardless of whether you're driving, walking, biking, whatever it might happen to be.
That's correct. In my world of crime prevention, it always boils down to awareness, right? Paying attention to our surroundings, making sure that we see what's happening around us.
A lot of really good information, again, to make sure that we all stay safe. And this is an important time of the year to be talking about it, as you were mentioning, with school back in session. Have this conversation with your kids.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, this is good information to share with kids, especially when we're talking about wearing bright clothing, even maybe putting reflectors on backpacks, right? Making sure they're walking with a group. And especially when we're talking about a bunch of kids together, sometimes they're not always paying attention.
Right.
So reminding them, hey, you know what? Pay attention to what's going on. Waiting for the bus. Don't run out into the roadway. Right. Maybe they're playing football, right? Ball goes down to the road. It's all good reminders.
Yeah, we've all had it happen. We've all had these incidents, and the goal is to prevent these accidents that are, in fact, preventable. We've got a link up with more information, great advice for keeping ourselves safe, regardless of how we're getting from point A to point B on the streets and roadways. Again, Brian White is a crime prevention officer of the Findlay Police Department with us this morning. Brian, thanks very much for the reminders. We appreciate it.
You bet, Chris. Thanks for having me.
You're listening to Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
So, in the news here, there was another bomb threat in the state of Ohio, and there's nothing funny about this. Don't get me wrong. I don't misunderstand. I don't want to give the wrong impression that we're joking about this. This is serious stuff. But this particular item actually caught my eye on the newswire because this is not exactly a genius, whoever made this bomb threat. Not exactly a genius. This is the story. This time the threat was made against the Columbus office for the National Youth Advocate Program. But the kicker is officials say that most of the employees of the company actually work from home. I'm not sure who you were targeting in this. Morons. Oh, man. Can we just stop, please? Not do this anymore. This is getting out of hand. This is kind of an interesting story. Out of Oklahoma City, four people taken into custody after a vehicle crashed into a local restaurant. Police say that a group of individuals in the car were first observed pointing a gun at a security guard in the Boat District in Oklahoma City, and that's when officers tried to pull them over, but the driver then sped off and crashed into the Carnitas El Patron restaurant. Crashed into the restaurant. And here's the kicker. The driver took off. The other four people in the vehicle were apprehended. So that's awful nice. Just hang your friends out to dry. You rammed the car into the restaurant, and then the driver took off, left the other people to take the fall for it. I'm guessing that they will probably turn on their buddy who is the driver, and they'll be able to pick that person up. They'll find out who that is, I'm guessing. Speaking, and apparently all of these in Oklahoma City, these are young people, like teenagers. And speaking of teenagers behaving badly, the sheriff in Volusia County, Florida, Mike Chitwood, says he has a new way to combat teenagers behaving badly. He is going to publicly shame them. He said he will, the sheriff said he will post mugshots of kids accused of issuing threats against schools and other bad behavior. He will publicly post those mugshots. In social media statements, Sheriff Chitwood warned parents that if kids are arrested for making threats, their mugshots could be posted online. Every time we make an arrest, your kid's photo is going to be put out there. And if I can do it, I'm going to perp walk your kids so that everybody can see what they have been up to. The decision has prompted a number of reactions. Some are saying that children should not be subject to such humiliation, but others say, well, maybe it's time for a little tough love here, as it were. I don't know. A couple of other items here among the odd and unusual side of the headlines in today's broken news. Delta Airlines recently sent out a memo outlining their appearance requirements for new hires for their flight attendants and so on. According to the memo, and this is what I thought was interesting about this, according to the memo, flight attendants must wear proper undergarments. It actually says that. Is this a big problem at Delta Airlines? The flight attendants have been going commando? They actually point out that the flight attendants must wear proper undergarments. So thank goodness we've cleared that up. I would venture to guess that in most jobs, maybe not all, but in most jobs, they want you to wear proper undergarments. You know? I'm just saying. I would think that that would be a given, but apparently at United Airlines, they've got to spell that out. Their flight attendants. Let's see here. Dateline, California, where Ken Wilson discovered that his utility bill was abnormally high. He said, I've been trying to conserve electricity and lower my costs because it's getting really expensive. You think energy costs are high here. I mean, in California, it's just astronomical. I have a friend in L.A. says he pays like $600 in his electric bill some months. It's just crazy. So anyway, Mr. Wilson said, I thought maybe there was a gas leak or someone was stealing my electricity or maybe the electric meter was faulty, something. When a worker from Pacific Gas and Electric checked his meter, he found that there was a problem. It wasn't that the meter was defective. It turns out that his electric meter was connected to the wrong apartment. And he had been paying his neighbor's bill for the past 18 years. I wonder if the neighbor was, you know, like not getting an electric bill and just keeping his mouth shut. PG&E apologized for the error. They say it will be corrected for the next billing cycle. I would hope so. I would like to find out you're paying your neighbor's electric bill for 18 years. I've been doing this. And finally, in the broken news this morning, this is a new report from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention that STIs, sexually transmitted infections, are increasing at an alarming rate in the over 55 community. That's right. People who should know better, ages 55 and up, experts warn, are contracting STIs at an alarming rate. in some cases, tripling in this subset of the population. Number of STIs has tripled between 2012 and 2022. And in some cases, for example, cases of syphilis have increased sevenfold. According to one researcher at Loyola Marymount University, dating in your 20s is about, you know, building your world, getting married, having kids, you know, starting a family. And then after you hit 55, it's about fun and play. So that may be why rates are, it's about fun and play. But maybe a little too much fun and play. There you go. That is today's Broken News Report, an update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
I'm John Marshall, and coming up next time on the Coach's Corner, presented by the Granary Gifts and Furniture, we'll be talking high school football with Riverdale coach John Wells, as well as Stephen Adams from Findlay. We'll also be joined by University of Findlay football coach Corey Allen, and we'll catch up with Lipsick volleyball coach Brent Newell, as his Vikings have started the season off quite well. All that and more, live from Ralphie's, Wednesday night at 6 on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com and 95.5 FM.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. We are still 3 months away from Christmas, and we have talked a little bit about preparations for the holiday season, all of that. Holiday shopping, people starting earlier than ever. Many people already have started their holiday shopping and planning for trips and things like that. Well, it's not just Christmas. We call it the holiday season because there are many more holidays. Thanksgiving is now only about 2 months away, and a new survey of Americans from each state. They asked people in each of the 50 states, how long does it take you to plan your Thanksgiving dinner? This is a survey commissioned by Jenny O. You see Jenny O turkeys in the stores at Thanksgiving time. So they were the ones who logically wanted to know, when do people start planning their Thanksgiving dinner? And it turns out that on average, it takes Americans over 4 weeks to plan for their Thanksgiving celebration. Specifically in Ohio, because again, they asked state by state, and in Ohio, it takes us 28 days. The longest planning regimen of all 50 states, Delaware. Residents there spend 36 days on average prepping for the Thanksgiving holiday, about 17 days planning their guest lists, and 19 days building the menu. How hard can this be, really, you might ask? Well, when it comes to what we prefer with respect to Thanksgiving dinner, 66% say baking the turkey, putting it in the oven, is the right way to cook your Thanksgiving bird. Although, in Oklahoma, that was the largest number of people who preferred an alternative preparation. 20% say that it is better to smoke their turkeys. So that was the most of any state. One third of Americans admit that they do not always stick to the same turkey recipe or the same method of prepping their turkey every year. One third switch it up from 1 year to the next, and they get inspired. They take their inspiration from family recipes. 70% said family recipes. 33% get recipes out of cookbooks, and 23% find unique turkey recipes online for Thanksgiving. But for all the turkey talk, 39% of Americans in the survey are likely to have ham on the table as well, and nearly 1 in 10, it was 9%, actually prefer ham as the main dish over turkey at Thanksgiving. Man, there's weird people. Most Americans, 61%, are cooking their Thanksgiving meals from scratch. Only 10% opt for prepared foods, although 30% admit they do a mix of both. And almost every American surveyed, 96%, said that they enjoy the Thanksgiving leftovers. So already looking forward to what happens after Thanksgiving. By the way, when it comes to hosting versus attending, the three states where people prefer to be guests over hosting, California, Hawaii, and Florida. Those are the states where people would rather be the guest than the host overall. Everything you needed to know about prepping for Thanksgiving. So this is a very timely event. St. Mark's United Methodist Church has launched a campaign that we really need right now. It is called Do Unto Others, encouraging each of us to share a little kindness with our neighbors. And Pastor Dan Metzger is with us on the program in the studio this morning. And you said that you were actually started to formulate this idea earlier this year. So this has been a while in the works.
Right. We knew that the election season was coming, yeah, as it does every 4 years.
Yeah.
Back in January, Pastor Adam Hamilton from Church of the Resurrection in Kansas City was speaking at our church, and he talked about how his church was going to be doing something called the Kindness Campaign, and that they were going to be focusing on this idea of the golden rule of do unto others. And so we thought, you know what, this works not just in Kansas City, this works in Findlay as well. And so we decided we wanted to jump on that bandwagon because we know that this is a time of year when people tend to polarize themselves and push themselves into other camps, and it can become hard to always remember kindness in
and,
those moments.
And no, and there that has really been demonstrated in the past week, I think, in large respect. When you talk about, we've been talking about it on the program, this concern about immigration and some of the rumors or some of the fearful beliefs, misunderstandings, misperceptions about certain segments of our community. This really speaks to that, I think.
It does. And of course, we didn't know this was going to be what would be happening when we launched this campaign. But
God's timeline.
But there's going to be something, because there always is something that we can find to divide us. And this is an opportunity for us, not just as Christians, but I think as a community also, to step back and to remember that that each person is a beloved child of God and somebody who is worthy of a little bit of kindness and a little bit of compassion and respect and love.
Yeah.
And so when we have this call to do unto others, I think one of the questions we ask ourselves is, well, how do I want to be treated? If I'm supposed to do unto others as I would have them do unto me, how do I want them to treat me? And the way I want to be treated is with kindness and compassion and respect and love. And so I think that that's where it has to start.
To be clear, this is, like we said, this was the genesis of this campaign, the idea formulated long ago. This is not launched this week in response to what we have seen this week. But again, it is very very timely given the circumstances. And it was kind of interesting when you first posted about this online. You and I had an interesting online discussion, or a bit of a back and forth, because call it the cynic in me, but there will be those who will see this as itself a political statement. And that, I think, just demonstrates how polarized we have become, that, you know, kindness is almost seen as a political position.
I really believe that kindness is not a policy of one party or the other.
Yeah.
That it's something that we are all meant to have and to share with others. I wonder if some of the reason that we feel that way is because we've kind of lost our curiosity with one another. When I find out that somebody is one political party or the other, I stop sometimes being curious about them. I know what kind of person that person is. Then if they're going to vote that way, then they must be XYZ.
Right.
And we've lost our curiosity with, well, I wonder why they might feel that way. And I believe that life is all about relationships. We have to be in relationship with one another to be able to know, I wonder why they might feel this way. Why might they be this way on a particular issue? And the more I have conversations with people, the more I treat them with a little bit of kindness and at least the benefit of the doubt that this might really be a good person, it gives me the opportunity to understand people a little bit better. Not necessarily to say, well, I agree with you on everything, but to at least have empathy and compassion for others.
And maybe some understanding of how an individual has come to believe a certain thing or a certain way.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think so often I'll hear somebody say, I don't understand how they could. And that's a great place for you to start. When you say, I don't understand, that's an opportunity for you to go and ask some questions. And you mentioned some of the things around immigration here. I think one of the things that has been really helpful for me, and I shared a little bit of this with our church when we launched this campaign, is that I've had the opportunity to interact with some of the folks in our Haitian community, and it's given me an opportunity to know, oh, this is why you feel this way. These are the things that are going on in your life.
Yeah.
And it's given me a little bit more compassion, a little bit more understanding of that.
Yeah. Surprise, surprise, kind of like we mentioned yesterday, surprise, surprise, it is not all about the internet memes and the political talking points.
Yeah. So, yeah. People are deeper than that. People are deeper than a list of talking points and a list of policies of one political party.
Yeah. So the Do Unto Others campaign, obviously you're launching it within St. Mark's United Methodist Church, but really for the entire community.
Yeah. And there's going to be hundreds of churches around the country who are doing something similar.
The more the merrier.
The more the merrier. I don't think we have a surplus of kindness at this point. And so it's okay. It's okay for more to join in. We may not even be the only church in Findlay that does this.
Yeah.
So we've got some yard signs and they just say, do unto others kindness. And then on the backside, it just has listed the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And I think that I hope that this is a platform that all of us can campaign for.
Yeah.
And so what we're going to do is the four Sundays leading up to the election, we're going to talk about some of these things. How do we want others to treat us? Mm-hmm. And in contrast, then how do we treat others? And so the themes will be kindness, compassion, respect, and
love. The big challenge, I think, is not just to get people to put the yard signs out front of their houses and pay lip service to this, but actually go out and do it.
Absolutely.
Because it's really easy to say, oh, yeah, I support the Do Unto Others campaign and, you know, kindness, we need more of that, yada, yada, yada. It's sometimes a lot more difficult to actually put that in practice.
Yeah, and so it's going to have to be an intentional thing.
Yeah.
How can you intentionally practice a little bit of kindness? One example that I like to give is when I go to the grocery store, one of the things I put on my grocery list is I'm not allowed to leave until I help someone. Or until I, you know, interact with someone in a way that brightens their day in some way. Like that's a part of my list. I need flour, I need sugar, I need milk, and I need to be nice to someone. And it helps me to like look for those opportunities. And there's way more opportunities at work, when you're driving, whatever it might be. And a part of, I think, what can help us to do that is to, as we look at other people, say, I wonder what that person might be going through.
Yeah,
because we're all dealing with stuff, and everybody can benefit from a little kindness.
Amen to that. We've got a link up for more information about the Do Unto Others campaign. If somebody wants a yard sign to help spread the word.
Yep. You don't have to go to St. Mark's to have one of the yard signs. You can just stop by the church office. We'll be happy to give you.
Awesome stuff. Pastor Dan Metzger with us this morning, St. Mark's United Methodist Church. Thanks very much for dropping by. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
And that seems like a pretty good way to wrap up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program this morning. Remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage, and that is goodmornings.net. Coming up tomorrow on the program, it is homecoming week, and the Findlay City Schools have something else to celebrate as well. High marks on the latest state report card. We'll speak with Superintendent Dr. Andy Hatton. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.